Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our service with the singing of Psalter 240, the first two verses. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. Full of troubles and affliction, nigh to death my soul is brought. Helpless like one cast forever from thy care and from thy thought. 1 and 2 of 240. Thank you. scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophet Ezekiel, thereof the 33rd chapter, the first 20 verses. But first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Ezekiel 33, the first 20 verses. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, and his righteousness, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin, and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you, everyone, after his ways. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, we wish to especially remember in prayer this morning the Jason Van Leeuwen and his family with the passing away of his father and grandfather at 93 years of age. Let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing and presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, merciful and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, on the first day of this week, on this morning, as we may with our families and our children be yet in the land of the living, in the time of grace, again to enter into thy house, to hear what thou hast to say unto us from thy everlasting testimony and precious word. Lord, thou hast spoken again. We have again heard the notice of one who is taken out of this life. Lord, remember the widow, the children, the grandchildren, and all the relatives. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would sanctify this calling unto them, but also unto us. Thou art speaking. Prepare to meet thy God. Thou shalt not live, but shalt surely die. Because the wages of sin is death, and we have sinned against thee, we have brought death upon ourselves. Lord, sanctify the calling. Remember the family. Lord, thou art the God of all comfort. Bless thy word then to their never dying souls, that the death of one may be the life, spiritual life of many. Help him who will be called to speak a word and bless it powerfully with the power of the Holy Spirit at the funeral. And Lord, remember then all those who are mourning, widows, widowers, those who have lost children, those who have lost a father, a mother, sibling, friends. O Lord, remember each one and all their grief and sorrows. O Lord, we beg thee that thou would look upon us in mercy, and may we see the wonders of thy long-suffering patience, that we may yet be in the land of the living again, that we may come into thy house to hear thy precious word, and we've heard law and gospel. Oh, we beg thee, richly bless thy word. May it be a mirror before us by the power of the Holy Spirit to show us who we are, that we are sin from head to toe, that we are polluted, corrupt, and that our mouths may be stopped, and that we become guilty before thee, a holy and just God, who will by no means clear the guilty, but also reveal unto us through thy precious gospel, through thy dear Son, that thou hast thought of a way in thy infinite wisdom that thou could be just and the justifier of them that believe in thy Son. O Lord, we beg thee that thou would richly bless thy word by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. Take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. O Lord, give also in our thoughts those high thoughts for thee, for the Almighty God. O teach us who thou art in all thy attributes, that we would not only become guilty before thee and trembling because of who we are before thee, that highest majesty in heaven, but may we also be drawn unto thee by those cords of love, because of thy long-suffering patience and mercy and tender kindness through thy dear Son. Oh, may we know thee in all thy attributes, Lord. We confess by nature we only have wrong thoughts of thee, of who thou art, and willing to be to absolute wicked sinners. We have so much unbelief in our hearts, and we listen to the voice of Satan. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then give that true repentance, that forsaking all our own wrong and wicked thoughts of who thou art, but also give that turning unto thee, that true repentance. Oh, Lord, wilt thou work mightily by thy word and spirit, that there may be those fruits of true repentance, but also of true faith. Lord, thou hast promised that thy word will never return unto thee void, but it will accomplish thy purpose. We beg and pray thee then, Lord, come among us today in thy house. Rend the heavens and work mightily, irresistibly. Give conversion unto boys, to girls, to teenagers, to older ones, to adults, to seniors, Lord. We all need the same thing. We need thy grace. We need our hearts conquered, made willing in the day of thy power to flee from all sin and to flee unto thee. Lord, teach us of our sin, but also teach us of that only way of salvation that is in thee, a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, wilt thou take away all distractions, all hindrances in preaching and in listening? Give a mouth to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. Take away all the fear of man, but also the desire of the praise, and that we may speak as a faithful watchman according to the full counsel of God. And give ears to hear that it's a message from thee, from the Almighty God. And apply it, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be that bowing, that worshiping, that adoration of thee, that there may be hope in hopeless sinners, sinners who think that there is no way ever to be saved, where it's impossible. O Lord, we beg thee, break hearts by the power of the Spirit, by the application of thy word, and that today there may be many bowing before thee, confessing unto thee their sin, crying out unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, wilt thou bring then sinners unto true repentance, to that place where we will never bring ourselves, where we are unwilling and unable? Oh, wilt thou give that faith, that there may be that faith and exercise, looking outside of self unto thee? Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Thou could righteously and justly pass us all by, because of all our sins, all our iniquities, what we have done unto thee in paradise, but also because of our own personal sins. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy. And may we beg thee for thy name's sake, that thou would richly bless thy word. Oh, wilt thou give comfort to the comfortless, give hope to the hopeless. Lord, work among us mightily, and do above all that we can think and ask, for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for our eternal welfare. Lord, we beg and pray thee as thou hast promised in thy word, where there are two or three gathered together in thy name, thou hast promised that thou would be in the midst. Thou art that faithful, that covenant-keeping Jehovah. Lord, unto whom else can we go for all the needs for our body, but also especially for our never-dying soul? Lord, thou knowest that people who say in their hearts and know, unto whom can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, who have come with hunger, with thirst, to hear thy word, to be instructed, to be taught, to be guided by thee, by thy word, and by thy spirit. O wilt thou give then to the hungry food? Thou art who art that bread of life. Wilt thou give water to the thirsty by the power of the Holy Spirit through thy word? Give us a good hour in thy house, Lord, and that we may go home today to say the Lord was with us. It was a good day. Lord, do not pass us by. Have mercy upon us. Wash and cleanse us of all our many sins. Lord, remember then also in this week, as we will have a male members meeting, and thou knowest all that is on the agenda, especially also when we are called to vote for office bearers, for an elder and for a deacon. Lord, wilt thou guide it all according to thy favor, and wilt thou give men of thy choosing. And Lord, then also give help from above when they are called by the congregation and through that way of thy providence called by thee, that they may accept depending upon thee. Lord, wilt thou guide it all? Help, Lord, and give that we may be bound together at thy throne of grace, praying for one another, caring for one another, for all our cares and needs for this life, but also for the welfare of thy church. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thy kingdom may come throughout the world, here in the established churches, but also throughout the world on the mission field. Lord, bless thy word mightily, powerfully, by thy irresistible power of the Holy Spirit among Jew and Gentile. Help all thy servants, Lord. May we be faithful watchmen. May we speak the full counsel of God. O Lord, we beg thee then, have mercy upon us and bless thy word here in our denomination throughout the world, but also among those in far nations. O we beg thee that thy word may go out through the world. O we beg thee, Lord, that the nations may know thee, that the nations may come to truly praise thee. Oh, we beg thee, give us then a heart that's touched, blessed by thy grace, and touched, that we may also have a burning desire to speak unto others, not only here in our families, but also in our own life, each one of us. And may it also go out to the ends of the earth for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory. Lord, thou hast also given us as a denomination a place in Bolivia to bring thy word, to share the precious truths of death in Adam, but also life in Christ. Richly bless it there, Lord. Help the office bearers there, thy servants. We beg thee, remember Pastor Marco. Help him day by day. Remember the church workers and their families, Lord. Care for them. And Lord, may we all be used then, all thy servants, as instruments in thy hands for the salvation of sinners, that sinners under the sharing and the proclamation of thy precious word would be born again. and that born-again sinners may become stripped and lost in everything in themselves and be led to be clothed, to be washed, to be cleansed, only by thy dear Son, who has that robe of righteousness to cover unrighteous one, and who has that precious blood, that blood that we may read in thy word, that can cleanse from all sin. O Lord, wilt thou bless it, that there may be food and drink, comfort for poor, wretched, wicked sinners. Lord, we beg thee then, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, send out from above, but also help to listen and apply thy word, Lord. Open spiritually deaf ears, enlighten spiritually darkened minds, sinful minds, to the truth of who we are, of who thou art, and who thou art to wicked sinners through thy dear Son. O Lord, we beg thee then, work irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray and ask thee to remember the whole congregation. Thou knowest each one, all the needs, all the cares, all the riddles, all the questions, all the afflictions, all the crosses, but also all the joys. Lord, visit and have mercy upon us and bless thy word. Remember that poor and needy people pining away, no hope, but also those who have become fatalistic. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, bless thy word. Break those hearts and give that they may hear of who thou art for such unworthy sinners. Lord, come, bless thy word for thy kingdom's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory. Wash and cleanse us then, Lord, of all our many sins, and have mercy upon us. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this morning's worship service with singing from Psalter 379. Psalter 379, the first four stanzas and more if necessary. By Babel streams we sat and wept, for memory still to Zion clung. The winds alone our heartstrings swept, that on the drooping willows hung. 379, and the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. children, teenagers, adults, what are your thoughts about God? Who is God to you? What are your thoughts about Him? How are you feeling spiritually this morning? Are you in despair? What are your thoughts about God? Have you given up hope of ever being saved? Is that you this morning? Wrong thoughts of who God is? And because of those thoughts, have you even given up to even read the Word of God? Have you become just complacent? Maybe even fatalistic? Are there sinners here this morning, maybe also pining away in their sin? No hope. There's no hope. No right thoughts of God, of who He is and all His attributes. Can you relate to what we sang, that first Psalter 240, verse 2? 'Neath thy wrath I am oppressed, bound and helpless in my bondage, pining in my bitter woe.' How do you feel this morning, congregation? Children, teenagers, adults? Is this how you feel? How is it with your heart? How is it with your soul? There were Israelites in captivity in the time of Ezekiel, and they felt so absolutely hopeless. They were just pining away. They heard of the judgments of God. And they had the question, which we read in Ezekiel 33, verse 10. "Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live?" So there was a people pining away. They were complacent, in despair, no hope. They felt all the judgments of God, and they had wrong thoughts of who God is for such wicked sinners. And God sent His prophet Ezekiel to speak to that people, to exactly those people. And that's the word that we will consider this morning with the Lord's help, because it's a timeless word. It's not only a word for Israel, but also for sinners today. And so I'd like to draw your attention to the precious word of God, which we read in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. 33, verse 11. "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" So far from God's word. Congregation, God reveals Himself to you and me through His word by names. Many beautiful names of the Almighty God. And each word speaks about who He is, reveals a little something of who God is. And God also, in His precious word, reveals Himself through His attributes, through His excellencies, through His characteristics of who He is. And we need to hear all of them. Not only His attributes of righteousness and justice and holiness, but also not only of His love and mercy and grace. We need to hear of all His attributes. Otherwise, we come to a wrong understanding of who God is. But God also gives to Himself, children, human physical aspects. Because we hear in the Word of God that God has ears, He has eyes, He has a mouth, He has hands. And God is a spirit. But He does that for us to have a little understanding, because our minds are sinful and finite. So we can have a little understanding of who He is. But God also reveals something else in His word. What? He reveals His desires. He reveals His emotions. He reveals what He delights in. He reveals what He has pleasure in. As we read in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, "I have no pleasure." That word pleasure, what does it mean? That word pleasure means to experience emotional delight. God reveals himself in his word as a God who has feelings and emotions. And so, this morning, we will have the following theme with 2 points and connected to this precious word of God from Ezekiel 33, verse 7. The theme is God's delight expressed. God's delight expressed. That's what the whole text is about. God expressing his delight. 2 thoughts. First, what God does not delight in. What does God not delight in? Look in your Bible. Look in this text. God has no delight in the destruction of the wicked. Listen, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Has that ever become precious for you? It becomes precious to a people who learn they're nothing but wicked. It becomes astounding. It becomes a wonder that God expresses his delight. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So what God does not delight in? And our second thought, what does God delight in? What does God delight in for you? Not in your destruction, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? And so may the Lord richly bless his word and break hearts by the power of his Holy Spirit and give light upon it. And that it may be applied by the Holy Spirit, that we may see a little something in wonder of who God is by the power of the Holy Spirit for absolute wicked sinners. So God's delight expressed, our first thought, what God does not delight in. So when we see the beginning of this chapter in Ezekiel 33, we see that Ezekiel was called to be a watchman. He was called to proclaim the word of God unto Israel, unto those who are in captivity. He had to warn of sin, because if he didn't warn of sin, then their blood would be carried upon him. And he had to warn of sin. If you continue in your sin, ye shall die. And he had to bring many messages of judgment unto those people. God is just, congregation. And God must punish sin. And you and I are sin, because we offended him to the him who is the highest majesty in heaven. Our sin deeply offends God. And God must punish sin. The Israelites heard the message, but they didn't only hear the message, they also experienced the hand of God's wrath upon them. They felt his attributes, if you could say it the way, of holiness, of righteousness, and of judgment against their sins. Ezekiel was called to proclaim those messages unto them. And then they felt it, they experienced it. And then they were pining away under the wrath of God. How shall we then live? And God called Ezekiel to speak unto them another message. Verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, that almighty covenant people, faith in Jehovah, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So who did he say this to? God's delight expressed. Who does he express something that he does not have delight in? Say unto them, or as we read at the end of the verse, O house of Israel. So who is he speaking to? Who is Ezekiel on behalf of God as a watchman, as an ambassador? Who is he speaking to? God called Ezekiel to speak to those wicked sinners, to those Israelites, to those who were separated, chosen by God, and richly blessed under the covenant blessings. They had the symbols of the gospel. They heard the law. They were extremely blessed, brought into a land that flowed with milk and honey. But they turned from God. That God who had cared for them brought them out of Egypt into that promised land, they turned from him. After all his blessings, after all those rich benefits upon them, they turned from him and they turned to lifeless, helpless images of stone and of wood. Instead of kissing him, as we read in Psalm 2, meaning worshiping him and him only, they were kissing the idols. Speak unto them. Speak unto those wicked sinners who have turned from me. Say unto them, to those who God in his mercy sent prophets, exhorting them, warning them for all those many years, repent. Repent from your sin. Turn away from idols. He sent watchmen after watchmen to be on the walls to call unto them to forsake sin, to repent from sin, and to turn unto God. But what did they do, those Israelites? They hardened their hearts. They didn't turn. They didn't forsake their sin. They continued on. They refused. They continued living according to their own flesh. Say unto them, to them, to those who are worthy of sin, of wrath, and of eternal wrath. Why? Because of their original sin, because they're sons of Adam, like you and I are, but also because of their persistent, rebellious, wicked, hard-hearted, stiff-necked, continual sinning against God. Ezekiel is called to bring a message from Jehovah to these people. And how does he begin his message? This verse, how does it begin? What's the message? Say unto them, as I live. What is Ezekiel saying with this first phrase? Say unto them, as I live. What is he saying on behalf of that almighty covenant-keeping Jehovah? God is speaking. Ezekiel isn't speaking. God is speaking. As I live, God is giving an oath. God is saying, for the message that you're going to hear from my mouth, the only way it can ever fail is I must die. God, that Almighty God, gives the most highest, strongest promise, an oath of the message that he's going to give to Ezekiel and that you and I will hear this morning. He gives an oath. As I live, congregation, listen to the word of God that comes from Jehovah, that covenant-keeping, faithful Jehovah. The message that he's going to give, the word that he's going to speak, the only way that message can fail is for God to die. Why did God do this? Why, children? Isn't everything God says is the truth? Can't we trust it all? Absolutely. So why did he give a message beginning with an oath? Why did he begin through that servant, that watchman? As I live, saith the Lord God. Because of the absolute hardness, sinfulness of those hearts that the message is going to come to. God already spoke to them. Open your Bible, please, to Ezekiel 18. God already had laid a very tender question before their hearts with that message. A tender question he asked them in Ezekiel 18, verse 23. Listen. Ezekiel 18, verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? So the Lord begins with laying a very tender question before their hearts. The Lord comes with a tender question to those hard-hearted sinners. The answer is no, because God also pleaded with them for so many years. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, from all your iniquities. Otherwise, that will be your absolute ruin. As we read in chapter 18, verse 30, God entreats those wicked sinners with a tender question to capture their hearts, to come near to them. that their hearts would be opened and broken to see Him and His goodness and His mercy for such absolute wretched sinners. But then He turns from a question, because how do they respond? They respond and say, God's way is not equal. Verse 25. Yet ye say the way of the Lord is not equal. What does that mean? They're saying the Lord isn't just. The Lord's not fair. That question didn't break their heart. They just returned to the Lord. The Lord is not equal. The Lord is not fair. The Lord is not good. The Lord is not just. And then the Lord turns from a question and He makes a direct statement. Verse 32 in chapter 18. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. So He comes from a tender question and He gives a direct statement. He tells them directly, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I have no pleasure in your death. How did they respond, those Israelites? How do we know? Do we know? Yes, we know. Because now let's turn back to chapter 33. 33 verse 10. In that message, in that verse, we read that Ezekiel is told, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. And now we will read how they are responding to that tender question, that direct statement. How are they responding? Thus ye speak. They're speaking and saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? So God sent a message to cause them to truly seek Him. God, with His whole being, desired what was best for them, that they would turn away from their sin. But they only say, the Lord is unequal. They're pining away. They're in despair. They're in captivity. How shall we then live under the judgments? How shall we then live with the wages of sin is death? They became spiritually paralyzed. They didn't have hope. No, even worse, they had wrong thoughts of who God is. Of who God is for such wicked sinners. Wrong thoughts of God, hard thoughts of God, leading to complacency. Today we would say their Bibles are closed. They became fatalistic. How shall we live? They're living in unbelief. They're living in despair. And God then goes from a tender question to a direct statement to a statement with an oath. He expresses His delight for them with an oath. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Children, a little illustration. For example, your mother comes to you and has a question. Do you think I want you to ever be hurt? She, of course, does not want you to ever be hurt. She does everything to protect you, but she comes with a question. She wants you to believe that you would never ever want her to be, that you would want, she would want you to be hurt. But then she sees that you doubt that. So then she gives a very direct statement. My son, my daughter, I do not want you to ever be hurt. Everything I do for you is for your good. But then she still sees by your actions or how you respond to her that you still doubt. So then she says, my son, my daughter, I promise you, I want to do everything for your good. And hear that Almighty Jehovah, He begins with a tender question. They don't believe it. He gives a direct statement, and they still don't believe it. God would have been just if He would have said no more. But again He comes. He comes close to them, and He comes to give them a word that would break their heart. As I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Jehovah spoke. And Ezekiel was called as an ambassador to speak the exact words of what his messenger, what his authority, what his king, what his God has called them to speak on behalf. And so he doesn't give his opinions. He doesn't give his thoughts. He gives that word exactly as the Lord has said. Because he knows The only thing that will ever be blessed is not his opinions. It's not his word, but it's God's word. And so he says, as an ambassador, thus saith the Lord, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And so, congregation, I must also proclaim all the counsel of God, not my opinions. The pulpit is not a place for man's opinions. We must stand here with love for the congregation, love for their souls, and speak the whole counsel of God and say, thus saith the Lord, that you may hear. It's a message from him. It's not from man. It's only an instrument. And so the Israelites heard. They heard, but their hearts were so unbelieving and desperately wicked. But that's a picture of you and me also by nature. By nature, we hear the word of God. How many times have you heard the word of God? How many years, should I say? So many years that he says, repent. He holds before you his law to show you your sin. But you carry on by nature. He proclaims the gospel of the goodness through his son. But we only by nature, how do we respond? How do we respond by nature? We only have hard thoughts of God. Our hearts are so desperately wicked. And we listen to that voice of Satan so easily. Has God said? We twist God's word. We receive that word, but instead of believing, trusting, and bowing and repenting, we listen to the word of Satan and we bring our own hearts, unbelief, and we do not trust God and his word. That's our wickedness. That's our heart. That's our sin. That's our guilt. And yet, my dear friend, the Almighty God gave a message with an oath. For such wicked sinners. Why? So they would hear. So they would hear who he is. So they would hear and believe. So that their hearts would be broken, become guilty in self, that it's all their guilt. But that they may hear of who God is for such absolute wicked sinners. So we may say with much respect, God does everything for those wicked sinners. That they would hear, that they would believe, that they would have a right picture of who God is, and that they become guilty, that it's their sin, that they would hear his word. What is his message? What is the message that God does not have delight in? The message is a disclosure that we're going to hear. It's a revelation of what God is going to share. He's going to share his deep feelings. I have no pleasure in children. Who knows your feelings? Who knows your thoughts? Who knows your feelings? You do? God does? Because God knows everything? And only those who you share your feelings with. But now another question. Who knows the feelings, the thoughts of God? God does. But also God shares with his word. He shares through his word of his deep, also his deep feelings, of his pleasure, of his delight. So what is in the heart of God? Let's picture this. God sees all those Israelites in captivity, pining away. How shall we live? Those wicked sinners. And he called them, called watchmen to speak to them so many times. And yet they didn't repent. How does God view them? What's in his heart? What's in his heart with those wicked sinners he sees of those in captivity? What is in the heart of God? What is his feeling to such wicked sinners? Let's think for a moment how wicked they were. What God expresses also in Ezekiel of who he sees those sinners to be. He calls them that they're even worse than Sodom. And he says they're even worse than Samaria. They did abominations worse than the heathens that were cast out of their lands. God sees them. What's in his heart? What do you think is his desire? We're such wicked sinners. But now you and me, congregation, God sees you and me. God sees you and me every moment. He sees our thoughts. He sees our words. He sees our deeds. He sees it all. He hears it all. What is in the heart of God against such wicked Israelites? They were so blessed. And yet, against all that better knowledge, they willfully sinned. That's why they're so wicked. Hearing the word, hearing the gospel through the sacrifices, and yet, against all that knowledge that the Lord has richly blessed them, they hardened their hearts. But what about you and me? We're very blessed. We're as blessed as Israel. The Lord has proclaimed law and gospel. Law and gospel. And you and I are very blessed. But what's the effect in your heart? Have you continued on in sin and living to your own pleasure, to your own will? Very blessed, but yet continuing on, hardening your heart like Israel? Israel was very blessed, and so that made them worse than all the other nations. But that's also you and me. We are very blessed. So in reality, we are more wicked than all those other people that are ignorant of the truth, of the law, and of the gospel. I remember going to prison for prison ministry and sitting with those inmates. And one time they expressed and they said to us, "Men, you're so much better than us." And I said, "No, no, no. We are not." I asked them, "Were you brought up in a Christian home?" "No." "Did you go to a Christian school?" "No." "Did you go to a Christian church?" "No." I said, I am much worse. Because against all that goodness and instruction of God, I yet willfully forsook it all. And I only wanted to live according to my own heart and my own pleasure. No, we're not worse. No, we are worse. We are not better. We're worse than who you are, inmates. Although we are not in this jail because we haven't committed such crimes, and yet we committed such great sins against all the goodness of God. And so who are you this morning? You've heard the word. You've heard the gospel. How's it with your heart? What is your thoughts of God? But another question, what do you think is God's thoughts for you? Did you hear me? What do you think is God's thoughts for you, wicked sinner? What is it? Let the Lord answer. Let's read the verse again. 33 verse 11. "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Israelites were thinking wrong thoughts. They thought the Lord only had delight and pleasure to put them all in eternal wrath, that the Lord would joyfully wipe them out and send them eternally to hell. They had wrong thoughts. The Lord said, "No, my thought is that you would repent, that you would forsake sin, because I want what's best for your life. I have no pleasure in your death." Israelites, you have the wrong thoughts. You see me in the wrong way. I am not a God who has a pleasure in pouring out my wrath upon such wicked sinners. "Say unto them, as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." But what about you? Do you think the Lord just takes pleasure in casting wicked sinners into eternal hell? Do you think that's who God is? Is that God that he just rejoices that he can cast sinners unto his eternal wrath? That's not who God is. God is just, and yes, he will punish sin. He must punish sin, but that's not his delight. That's not his pleasure. He doesn't have joy in that. No, he doesn't. It's our sin. It's our guilt. It's our wickedness that leads us to be eternally under wrath and condemnation. It's our guilt. And these Israelites, after hearing this, said, "The way of the Lord is not equal. The Lord is not just." They should have said, "We are wicked. We are sinful. We have hardened our hearts." And that they should have come on their knees, broken before him, being amazed that the Lord would bring such a message to such wicked sinners. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. My friend, what is your thoughts of God? We need to know the Lord in all his attributes. No, not just of holiness and justice and wrath, but not also only of mercy and of grace. We need to know him in all his attributes. What's in the heart of God? It's revealed. It's revealed in his word as we read. But how can we really know the heart of God? Where should we go, congregation? Where may we see the express image of God? How? How can we know the heart of God in its depth? Through the express image that he has given into this world. Who's that? That's his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The almighty, holy, and just God in love sent his son into the world to seek and save wicked sinners. Emmanuel, we read, with us, God with us. And that Emmanuel, that son of God, that God the Father sent, he was on that hill outside of Jerusalem. And listen to what we read in Luke 19 verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. You see him looking upon those wicked sinners that would cry out, crucify him, crucify him. He wept over them. You see his heart? You see his compassion for such wicked sinners? My prayer is that the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by his word, would break hearts and give right thoughts. Thoughts of awe, thoughts of reverence, of holy awe for the Almighty God and who he is, and all his attributes, also as he reveals, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What is wickedness, congregation? What's wickedness? Are you wicked? Are you wicked? You say, I don't like that name. We're wicked, congregation. We're sinners. We're wicked. What is wickedness? Is loving anything instead of or above the Almighty God and his dear Son. Loving ourselves more than our neighbor. Listen, anything less than what we read in Deuteronomy 10 verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Anything less than this is wickedness. Are you wicked? Are you wicked, my friend? What are your thoughts of God? But what are your thoughts of yourself? Are you wicked? Have you become wicked in the sight of God? And maybe there's some here this morning. They've been awakened. They've been convicted. They've become wicked. They've become wicked in their own sight by the power of the Holy Spirit. Their eyes have been opened. Their minds have been lightened. Their hearts have been renewed. And they see themselves just as absolutely wicked. No, those people in prison aren't wicked. Those people in the world aren't wicked. I'm wicked. The Lord was so good to me. The Lord separated me. The Lord brought me in under his truth, into a Christian church, a Christian home, a Christian school. And he poured all his blessings upon me. But I didn't want anything to do with it. I just continued on my own way, awakened, and just becoming nothing more than wicked. And feeling that you only deserve his wrath living under his anger, under his wrath. And all you can say is, truth, Lord, that's all I deserve. May I read that text to you again, my friend? May I read my text, that text again, the Lord's word again? Listen. Listen to what we read in the word of God. Say unto them, you hear it, poor, wicked sinner, guilty, lost sinner under wrath. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. He makes an oath. What? I have no pleasure in the death of the righteous. No, it doesn't say that. That would be understandable that you would read. I have no pleasure in the death of the righteous. You could say, I understand that. But the Lord doesn't say that. The Lord says specifically, I have no pleasure in the death of whom? Of wicked sinners. My prayer is that word would be blessed powerfully by the Holy Spirit. That it may come upon your soul by the power, eyes opened, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may see who God is. That he's not a tyrant, but that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That it may become a wonder. The Lord blessed this verse to my life so many years ago, living for a year only expecting wrath. And this word, reading at lunchtime with my dear wife, coming to Ezekiel 33, verse 11. I read it. My eyes were opened for the first time of a little something of the love of the mercy of God. I said to her, that's the Lord. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked that broke my heart. It gave me a little hope because I was just wicked, nothing else. And I could completely understand if it said, I have no pleasure in the death of the righteous. But what a blessing. Because when the Lord works, we don't become righteous. We become lost. We become guilty. And to know that he has no pleasure in the death of a wicked sinner becomes hope. Hope in him. Eyes are open to see a little something of who he is, of his mercy, of his grace. God's delight expressed. What does God not delight in? What does God say in his word in this text? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What an expression of mercy. What hope. What love. What an amazing grace of God. Let's sing from Psalter 255, stanzas 1 and 4. 255, stanzas 1 and 4. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise. To the rock of our salvation, loud hosannas let us raise. Thankful tribute gladly bringing, let us come before him now. And with psalms his praises singing, joyful in his presence, bow. 255, 1 and 4. God's precious word. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. God's delight expressed. We've heard a little something of what God does not delight. He does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, and he made that with an oath. But what does God delight in? Well, that's the second part of the text. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Do you hear it, sinner? Wicked sinner? God delights. He doesn't delight in your death, in your destruction, but he delights that you repent, that you turn away from all sin. And this is a commandment. Turn ye, for why will ye die? What commandment must I hold before you this morning? What commandment must I hold before you as a mirror that you see your sin? And no, I don't have time to go through all 10 commandments. But my friend, go home, read the law of God. Lay your heart beside it and ask the Lord to show your sin, that you return away from it, that you flee from it, that you cut it off, that you mortify the flesh, that you forsake sin, that you flee from sin, that you turn away from it. What is the idol in your heart? Are you worldliness? It's all worldliness, just living for the world, coming to church on Sunday, but delighting that your kingdom is bigger, bigger house, bigger business, bigger bank accounts, better vacations, etc. What's your heart? What's your life? Is it to keep your conscience quiet to come to church? And yet your heart is in the world, hardening yourself? He says, turn ye, for why will ye die? How do you think of your neighbor? Are you critical, judgmental? Is there no love? Are you judging others, critical? Or are you loving others? And remember what we ended last week, Sunday night, of that love? God is love. And his children also, by renewing grace, have a heart of love. Love him. Begin to love his son. And they also love each other. They live in love. The Lord desires that sinners repent. He delights that they confess. Listen to what we read in Jeremiah 3, verse 13. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. Did you hear it? Only acknowledge thine iniquity. He has no delight in the death. He has delight that sinners turn and repent with the whole heart and confess their sin unto him. Do you have sin that you're covering? No, you don't need to come here to church or the consistory and confess it to us. But may you be brought on your knees and confess it to the Almighty God. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. He has delight in hearing sinners confess. He has delight in seeing sinners turn away from all sin, from all wickedness. He commands it, turn ye, for why will you die? Why? Because this is his delight. This is his delight that he saw in the church of the Thessalonians. They turned from serving idols, heard the word. It was blessed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And God saw them turning from dead idols, turning to him, the living God. Is that your heart? Are you turning away from the world, turning away from self, turning to him, turning to his son, needing him, life in him, and him alone? Have you ever turned? Have you repented? Are you repented? Are you turning? Remember that woman that was caught in the act of adultery? And those men brought her to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? And we read at the end of the story, we know that all those men one by one went away. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, neither do I condemn thee. And then he gave a command, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. That's God's delight. that we turn away from all sin. Search your own heart. Search your own life. And turn away from all sin, forsaking it all. His delight is not in your death. His delight is that you would turn away from all sin and evil. Listen to what we read in Isaiah 55 verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What are your thoughts of God? Turn away. Forsake all those hard, wicked, unbelieving thoughts of God. His thoughts are thoughts of what? Delighting in your death? No. Open your Bible, please, to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Listen to what we read of the thoughts of the heart of the delight of God is for wicked sinners. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Wicked sinner, convicted sinner, sinner that thinks that God only has pleasure in your death, that God only delights in casting sinners into hell. No, that's not who God is. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. But what's the hope? What's the hope for a hardened sinner? What's the hope for those hardened Israelites that will only remain so hard after all the goodness? And even when God says with an oath, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What's the hope for you, hard-hearted sinner, maybe listening and maybe even in your heart right now saying, is this really true? Is this really who God is? That he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked? What's the hope? The hope is that God, who commands to turn, that delights in sinners that they would return, that what he commands, he also gives. And he gave his son. And his son has an abundance of grace. Listen to what we read in Acts 5 verse 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel, to give repentance to those ones who he had a tender question to, that he gave a direct statement. And then he said, as I live, I have no pleasure in your death, but turn you. And what did we read in further in that chapter? They again say, the Lord is not equal. Again, they return to him. They don't become broken. They don't become confessing. They again say, the Lord is not equal. The hope, the expectation is that the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, applies this word, breaks this heart, the hard hearts, and gives grace to truly turn and to repent unto him. And that we take this message home. That what the Lord says, what he delights in, turn you. That it brings us guilty on our knees. And that we turn this command into a prayer. That we become guilty. That we have never ever turned. And that we will only continue. But that we become guilty and we turn it into a prayer. Turn thou me and I shall be turned, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Turn me. Draw me and I will run after thee. These Israelites, hard-hearted, the Lord had a tender question, a direct statement, and then a word with an absolute promise. As I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What does the Lord have delight in? What does he say? I have no pleasure in the death. But what does the Lord delight in? Open your Bible, please, to Micah 7, and we'll read verse 18 and 19. There the Lord also expresses what he delights in. Micah 7, verse 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. God expresses his delight. No pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he delights that they turn. Turn from their sin. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Do you hear? Do you hear that pain in his heart? He had told them so many times to turn. Why will you die? He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. They were asking, how shall we live? And God says, why will you die? Why will you continue in your sin and your hard-heartedness? How is it possible? Let's end with that. How is it possible that God, that Almighty God, that our sin offends to his very heart, that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked? How is that possible? I want to end with a contrast. A contrast. He sees you. He sees me. How does he see us? Sin from head to toe in ourselves. In ourselves, we're just all sin. Sinful thoughts, sinful deeds, sinful affections, sinful will. It's all polluted. It's all stinking fruits of ourselves. And he says, looking upon such sinners, such wicked ones, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What a wonder. Because now let's turn to something else. God the Father sees his Son. His Son who was his eternal delight. And who came upon this earth and who looked upon him. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He never heard one sinful word from that mouth. He never saw one sinful thought. He never saw any sinful affection. He saw his image. He saw perfection. He saw purity. And he could delight in his Son. And what do we read that God delighted in doing to his Son? Isaiah 53 verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. God has no pleasure in abominable sinners, but in his dear, precious, infinitely pure Son, he takes delight in putting him to death. Why? How is that possible? That's God, congregation. That's grace. That's mercy. That's love. That's who he is. And all his attributes, just as satisfied in his Son, so those arms can open to wicked sinners, and that he can have no pleasure in their death, but that he can have pleasure in their salvation. What wonders! May the Lord richly bless his word. God expresses his delight. He has no delight. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But he had pleasure in putting his Son to death. Why? So he could take eternal delight and pleasure in a wicked sinner's being brought in, made pure by the righteousness and the blood of his Son, that he could forever delight in them through putting to death his delightful, precious Son, who knew no sin, but who became sin. That's salvation of God. Oh, may we repent of all our wicked, unbelieving thoughts of who God is. God is good. God is love. God is holy. God is just. And it all flows, all meets together through his dear Son. All the glory to God. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg and pray thee, apply thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, forgive us of all our wrong, sinful, unbelieving, wicked thoughts of who thou art, and give us right thoughts of thee, but also of self. Oh, by nature, we think we are so righteous. We think we're not wicked. But Lord, show us, teach us of our sin, of our iniquities, of our transgressions. And we come to that place where we're only worthy of death, and that it may become such a wonder to see that thou hast no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and reveal that only way that thou took pleasure in the death of thy son. Oh, may that break our hearts, Lord. Bless it. May there be food, may be drink for poor needy sinners. May we thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word, also this word, and for thy help to listen and to preach. Without thee we can do nothing. May we ask thee to help the elders in teaching catechism. Bless it to them and to the students. Bring us again here tonight. If it is in thy will, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 187, all four stanzas. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free, and tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer. Thy servant bless. 187, all four stanzas. congregation to receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.